This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I have no idea. Am I on?
I don't think your mic's on.
Okay. My name is Etiel. If it's green, it's on. Okay.
It's green.
Go talk to the electron. Okay, I'll pipe up here a little bit. Among the things in our announcements is we have been asked to remember the family of Pastor Gordon Klein, who served here. I talked to Jerry this morning. He confirmed him. Would that have been about your age, right?
Yep.
Okay, so the information is listed there. We remember the family in our prayers today, and also think about the great service to the Lord that he rendered. Also, for the benefit of our radio audience, whom I'm not sure they're able to hear, but be that as it may, we will be worshiping with the Order of Divine Service, setting 1, page 151. The hymns for today are 412, The People That in Darkness Sat, 395, fitting to the great day of Epiphany, which we'll get to in a moment. O morning star, how fair and bright, that's 395. Then a page before, songs of thankfulness and praise belonging to the Epiphany season. 940, Holy God, we praise thy name, the hymn of the month, 940. And then 397, again fitting to the Epiphany season, as with gladness, men of old, who's that talking about? The Magi. Okay, now, to get into Epiphany, what year is it? Come on, what year is it? No. What year is it? And finish that. What year is it?
Year of the Lord.
Anno Domini, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Notice the effect of Epiphany all the way down to the present. Our first hymn, maybe.
The people that in darkness sat, who
Service setting one, page 151. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and hear us from all.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
O most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will cause your name to be remembered in
thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The whole business is about light, as in the light of the world. well prophesied in advance, as we read here in Isaiah chapter 60. You'll hear it a couple of chapters later on too, but here's 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The gradual.
Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Our great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory.
Fitting to the Old Testament reading, of course, also for Epiphany, are these words Paul wrote to the Ephesians, the third chapter. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise and honor the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, praise. Please be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. It's Epiphany, Lord, but then we don't have to tell you that. You've made that known now for 2,000 years. Let that light shine brightly once again, just as we sang about that bright morning star whose name we know so well, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and everlasting light and life, God. Amen. So, what year is it? In the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. Now, what can be so big and so powerful and impactful event that you split all human history into B.C. and A.D.? Think about that for a second. Even when they try to mess it up with B.C. and B.C.E., you all know what that is? Or C.E., excuse me, and B.C.E., Common Era. And before the Common Era, they still have to deal with that number in front that takes you back to a great, big, and powerful thing that God did. And so how do you tell that? When God, in what he calls the fullness of time later on, sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. My friends, that's us. So how do you tell it? I'm going to steal something here from a title. Let's call it a divine drama, a play, and with two acts. Act one is Christmas. Act two is? You got it. Okay, so we're all together. The first act is, for want of a better term, the delivery. The second is the impact, the intended, deliberate effect God himself designed for all people, for all time, not to be forgotten. Now, like all great human events in a drama unfolding, you need a couple of elements. You need real live people. You need a definite moment in time that is recognized. And then you need something else, a piece of geography where people today can go over there and say, yep, I'm standing right here where it all happened, and I get to remember it because, and here's a beautiful Hebrew word we're going to learn, zakar. You'll do it at the communion rail later on. Zakar, it means to remember, and that's not an exercise of the gray matter. It's you standing right there in Bethlehem saying, I'm here today in the name of Jesus Christ as one of his own because of what happened here 2,000 years ago. So that's zakar. You participate in koinonia, in the grace of God. Yeah, all of that happened right here. Now, what we know is that our first journey to Bethlehem, almost 2 weeks out, was to try and keep up with a knot of single-minded shepherds who probably ran all the way to find a manger housing a baby according to angelic directive. Not just any baby, but a swaddled baby. And this one would be the one, remember the identity, your Savior, Christ the Lord. By the way, how many of you were listening to the gospel reading and the wise men came in asking, where is he who is born, the newborn king? And you remember Herod inquired where the Christ was to be? I hope you didn't miss that. It's a significant part of that reading. So, that's only a small part, that time back there, heading for the manger. Only a tiny segment of the world by angelic invitation only got to glimpse God in the flesh, Jesus. Now, if you want to call that Christmas to the Jews, the Hebrews, you can. That would be correct. It's not yet our Christmas, however. The first big part, the delivery, was the arrival of the anticipated Messiah. As we sing, he is the glory of his people, Israel. End Act 1, almost. Luke tells us that the shepherds got in the face of everyone they met to tell them the good news. And when you've got something great, earth-shattering, history-altering to say, it's hard to shut up. Ask any child who has a song in their head, about 5 years old, to try and get rid of it. It doesn't work. That's the way it was for the shepherds. But then, who's really going to believe some smelly, almost homeless, hill-wandering sheep herder about anything? Shepherds were numbered among the public sinners, which means no touch and likely no listen to either. Besides, even with all the telling of their good news, it doesn't to appear to have gotten to Jerusalem, and that's only 5 miles away, at least so far as the biblical record is concerned. Then the next great godly thing God is so good at is he shuts up. Silence. Luke has nothing to say. Mark and John add nothing to nothing. Matthew alone will break nearly 2 years of silence by recording for us the other real part of the angelic message. This good news of great joy shall be to all people. Now the news is getting out. Mary, your secret's going public. Inspired Simeon said that 40 days after the birth of Jesus. The glory of the people Israel is the light to lighten the Gentiles, just as we sing after Holy Communion. Act 2 is the Epiphany. January 6th, as we calendar out, Pastor Thomas said, can we please observe that this day? I said, by all means. Epiphany, God lights up the world with his good news of great joy. Now the attending cast has changed. The Holy Family has moved into a house at some point, but the whole thing still takes place in Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem, the one Micah remembers, said, Ephrathah, you who are little among the clans, you, out of you, shall come forth that ruler. So, if you will, Epiphany swaps out sheep for camels. Epiphany parks you atop of some obstinate camel so you can bounce your way to Bethlehem once more. Your companions aren't shepherds this time, but these mysterious magi, a force of visiting Eastern worshipers of unmentioned number, but large enough to disturb Jerusalem all the way up to the palace of Herod. How many were there? 3? 33. 63. How many camels does it take to disturb a city of some quarter to a half million people? 50? 100? What size was that caravan? Or was it small but powerful in its impact with just a few? But this we do know. As you go riding along on your camel, you are guided by the light of a stellar compass, a uniquely strange and one-of-a-kind star. And in that journey, God tells you two things about himself with that star. One, he has a keen sense of mystery. And two, he loves to play with his favorite created toy. The first one of all, remember? Let there be. And then day 4, the sun, the moon, and the stars. He loves that. Mystery means that God hides everything in plain sight of sinful humans. We just won't ever get to what's going down with God and with us without his Spirit's revealing guidance and light, because brilliant illumination, like the sun, is a direct reflection of the very nature of God. Radiating glory, otherwise described in the prophets, unapproachable light. Well, God's about to take away that word, unapproachable, and let you in on the light and reveal the mystery. Mystery and light combined mark the event we call Epiphany. God in man made manifest, we sing. The morning light of God's new day for the whole earth and its occupants has come. How did we get here? God started laying out the pieces for his epiphany back in the book of Numbers through Balaam. Balaam's that odd prophet who lost an argument to his donkey. I don't recommend that. It doesn't look good on your resume. That's the Balaam who said, a star shall come out of Jacob and a scepter shall arise out of Israel. Star and scepter. Regal items. Right there, ink on scroll, you can read it for yourself in Numbers 24, just the same way those anonymous wise men read it so long ago. They're magi, Remember? Magi were men like Daniel. And if you're into those three talking, or those talking vegetables, what is it? Rakshak and Beni? Have I got that right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Court advisors to kings. Highly intelligent, competent, capable individuals. They're students of everything, but especially the ancient writings of all peoples. And that would include the writings of a son of Israel, a Hebrew, and now since the Babylonian captivity would be called the Jews, Moses. They could read his words. But it was the Spirit of God who imparted the kind of wisdom that connected the star prophesied in Numbers with the birth of a king sent from God, delivered in Judah. And off they went, like Abraham of old, only Abraham didn't have a star like the Magi did. Ah, and that star, the star of wondrous mystery, seems to have worked like the pillar of fire that led Israel by night and the cloud, pillared cloud that led them during the day in 40 years of wilderness wandering. Now, there's an interesting thing about this. We don't hear of any noisy curiosity about a star, at least as it's recorded, in the ranks and file of Jerusalem, nor even of Herod's court. And another thing, I'm not aware of any chatter in the history books about this strange star, despite those who try to explain it with some natural phenomena, but none of those fit because of the curious features of this particular star. In fact, I can go so far as to say that anyone else besides the Magi even see this star, which seems to come and go at God's good pleasure. For instance, we know more about the unfolding of the event of Epiphany in that now you see it, now you don't event where the star disappeared even from the vision of the Magi. So they didn't even see it. Of course, when left on their own, they sorted things out. Princes, newborn kings, are born in palaces, and we know it's in Judea, and who's king? Herod. So we should find this newborn king in the palace of Herod there in Jerusalem. We know that word was out about their presence. Jerusalem was disturbed. We know that their presence invited an envious and murderous rage deep from within Herod. Why not God? As you heard inkled there in Ephesians, is rattling the cage of those heavenly realms. He's rattling Satan's cage, and Satan likes it not one bit. The rage of Herod is restrained only by the hand of God in the impressive presence of these strangers. Or put that another way with something from the Old Testament. Herod had to face the Magi exactly the same way that Pharaoh had to face Moses. The judge is at the gate, Herod, and the gate is there in Jerusalem in the form of a newborn king. And now I hope you can rightly ask yourself the question, if Herod could see the star of which he has now been fully informed, then why didn't he go with the Magi, the wise men? That would have been the proper and kingly response to the birth of a newborn king. Which leads to this. So who really, beyond the Magi, ever saw that star? The world may never know. We know that the star reappeared to their delight, when the Magi left Herod's treacherous and plotting presence for Bethlehem. We know that the light from that star was so precise, as Matthew records, that it spotlighted for them the particular house, now a home for in Bethlehem. History and prophecy will once again kiss at the doorpost of that particular home now for Mary and Joseph. And what, toddler Jesus? Prophetically said by Isaiah, Here it comes. The nations shall see your righteousness. Multitudes of camels shall cover you. They shall bring gifts of gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. So they knew who they were going to worship. That moment brings us to the heart of Epiphany. God's unveiling, his revealing of himself to the world, one and all. There are no more strangers to the grace of God because of that toddler, Jesus Christ. With the Magi, we can now say that we who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of this child, which is shed for us for the remission of sins. Epiphany is properly our Christmas as the Gentiles. Far off, but brought near in Christ. God has made friends of these foreigners from the east, these strangers to him and his promises. He made them his friends by the gracious gift of faith. After all, no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord, read King, except by the Holy Spirit. Spirit imparts faith. To kneel down, as the Magi did, is to state your faith in no uncertain way. Jesus Christ is Lord and King alone. There is no other. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith in God, by the way, undivided faith, to follow the light of a star. All of that unfolded in Bethlehem. So let's see if I've got this right. We have the star. We've got the Magi. We've got Bethlehem. Blended together makes for Epiphany. But let's not overlook the place where we're standing to say it all took place right here in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, of course, by decree of Caesar Augustus, all the world should be taxed. So Joseph, with his espoused wife Mary, great with child, has to travel back to the city or village of origins, which, since he is a descendant of David, and by the way, so is Mary, that meant Bethlehem. So we know how they got there, but that's Christmas. But there's something else about this small village. Bethlehem means house of bread. Bethlehem is God's bakery. Here's where he brought forth the bread of life to feed a world dying from spiritual hunger. The gnawing hunger is that void in the heart only God himself can satisfy. Jesus would later claim all of that, Bethlehem included, for himself when he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And the bread that I will give for the world, for the life of the world, is my flesh." The bread is flesh. That flesh is his life. That destiny, that designed for end for our Savior, was on a cross. But it began publicly right here in the ground we're standing on called Bethlehem. First, with shepherds before a manger, then with wise men, magi, on bent knees, worshiping their King and Savior. Christmas and Epiphany bookend. The presence of God coming into our world. The bread of life born in Bethlehem. And it is our privilege, if you will, to take a bite out of that bread of life as we will today when we kneel at the altar before the presence of God to receive his body and blood in the sacramental feeding that Jesus gives to his people to fill that huge empty spot in our hearts that only God himself can fill. Jesus Christ is God's gift of himself to you. Now, my prayer is that neither Christmas nor Epiphany are lost somewhere in seasonal sentiment. Sentiment, good as it can be, with sentiment you feel, but you worship from what you believe in your heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting. Amen. We will rise and confess, giving back to God what he gave to us with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For humble and grateful hearts, enlightened by the gospel, that we would always bow down and worship the King and willingly offer him the most precious gifts we have to give. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church, that God's people may be united in doctrine, live in harmony and peace, and labor together to bring the light of Christ to those still dwelling in darkness and death. Let us pray to the Lord. For leaders, that they may serve honorably, for pastors and missionaries, that they may proclaim the saving truth of God's word without fear. For those who hear, that they may be brought to faith, let us pray to the Lord. For the leaders of the nations, that God would endow them with justice and fill them with wisdom, compassion, and care, and that, unlike Herod, they would seek to uphold life and watch over the welfare of the government governed, let us pray to the Lord. For those who need the comfort of the Lord's presence, his healing according to his will, relief of suffering, and an end to the terrors of mind and heart, especially those for whom our prayers have been requested, Shirley, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Arlene, Michael, Mark, Diane, Tara, Leah, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, Cookie, those who we name in our hearts, and also for the family, Pastor Klain, commended into your care for all eternity. now that you would sustain the family, those who are wearied and wounded in life with the hope, and the dying with peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For peace and unity among the members of Christ's body, that we may see the day when no divisions prevent us from kneeling in the Lord's presence and receiving this blessed sacrament, let us pray to the Lord. May your light shine on us and bring forth the fruits of repentance in our daily lives. Give us confidence in your word that we would embrace your holy will without fear. Hear and answer us, we pray, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now for those who have joined us over the radio, the blessing of the Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Please be seated. We will gather our own.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.